Well, we've been looking, as you know, at the covenants. We started right at the beginning looking at the covenant of works in the Garden of Eden, and we saw that the covenant of works in the Garden of Eden was a covenant by God to Adam and Eve that they would continue in the garden as long as they did not eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if they did, then they would die. There was there's nothing in that covenant that provided any respite. They were either in the covenant or they were out. And there came a time, of course, when they were out of the covenant. But if you recall, in that same day, there was a promise made. It was indeed as the Lord was speaking to the serpent in Genesis 3, verse 15, promising that there would be a seed of the woman. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And we know that that seed of that woman was to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, what it showed is that there are two seeds, two types of people. So spiritually, that the whole of humanity are the seed of the serpent. The reason why the whole of humanity are the seed of the serpent is because we have all sinned, and that we do what our father does, which is to lie. And we saw in Psalm 58, verse 3, that is the lot of everybody when they're born. And we saw the rather controversial truth that babies do not have to be taught how to lie, and indeed they lie before they can even talk. And so they have to be separated. They can't be pampered to every time they cry, because every time they cry, they may well just be calling attention to themselves and thinking that they're in, making you think they're in trouble, just so the mother can cuddle the baby. And that would mean that the mother never gets any sleep. And so something has to be done. So from a very early age, mothers, I have to say, I can't speak from any close experience, but mothers can tell us that what they've had to do to deal with that situation, because learning how to distinguish between a baby that really is in need and a baby that's just making a fuss because it wants its mother's attention. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. The poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear. We're not just talking about certain people, we're talking about all of us. Yet the seed of the woman, the one righteous man that has ever lived and continued to be righteous, the Lord Jesus Christ, would bruise the serpent's head, defeat the serpent, deliver his seed, or his those elect from the serpent's seed, and they too would become the seed of the woman, the seed, they would become children of God, because they are in Christ Jesus. So that promise was given right from the beginning. But what we didn't know is, well, who would have that child? Could have been anyone in all humanity. But then we saw, as we went on through the Bible, that there were certain promises were made about that seed. Shem, remember at the time of Noah, blessings would come on Shem. Then we see Abraham, who was related to Shem, and in between we had the Tower of Babel after the flood, and we saw that it would, Nehemiah Cox's theory, which I say is the first time I heard it, but it seemed to make sense, is that up until that time, everybody was speaking Hebrew, but at the time of Babel, the people of God were separated from all the other nations by language. And Hebrew was then only spoken by the sons of Heber. And hence you come down to Abraham, who was of that line. And he was called out by God. And we remember that we saw in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, that in him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. See, that was repeated a few times thereafter. And we saw from Galatians 3:8 that this was the gospel. And if you want a reminder, so I hope you don't mind me just doing a quick recap. I hope that's helpful, just so that we, otherwise sometimes we forget what we've covered and it all gets a little bit confusing. So Galatians 3 verse 8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. There was the gospel before the covenant of circumcision. So the covenant of circumcision was introduced in Genesis chapter 17. And it wasn't until Genesis chapter 17 that God said Abraham's seed, the promises given to Abraham would be come through Sarah having a child. We saw that in Genesis chapter 16 that they decided, Abraham and Sarah thought that the sensible thing to do if they were going to have a seed that would be given the land of Canaan, well, we better get Hagar involved, because Sarah was far too old to bear a child. And so we saw the birth of Ishmael. And of course, that was a picture we saw in Galatians chapter 4. We saw that's a picture of those who are of the flesh, who cannot please God, and just doing things the way we think in our own strength, doing things which are rationally correct but are not according to faith. That is not faith. That is a gospel of works, which is, of course, no gospel at all. The promise was to be through Sarah having a child. She would save Isaac, the child. When we saw, just one moment, please. That we saw two propositions. Saw everyone in the line of Abraham's natural seed, whether immediate, that's his children, or grandchildren, or great-grandchildren, or great-great-grandchildren, were all equally included in the promises, just as much as Abraham's children. Remember that the promise for the land was to Abraham and his children, was actually through his children, because he did not inherit the land. That didn't come until Moses' time did it. So it was through his seed that the land was inherited. We saw the second proposition, that from the first making of the covenant, some of Abraham's children were excluded from it, even though they were required to be circumcised. Ishmael was excluded from it, even though he was to be circumcised, and it was before he was circumcised that he was excluded from it. Likewise, the children of Keturah, who Abraham married after Sarah died. And then that the same is true in Jacob's. When Jacob had twins in the womb, it was the choice was made, we're told, when they were in the womb, before they'd done good and evil. those who claim that God's foreknowledge chooses those on the basis of what they will do haven't reckoned with this verse where God said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And that we know from Romans 9 was before they had done good or evil. So not everyone who was circumcised inherited the land. They were not part of the promises. So circumcision wasn't an automatic mark that allowed people to inherit the land of Canaan. It was only the children of the descendants, I should say, of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob. We also saw that the promise of that kings would come from Abraham was fulfilled, at least partially, if not completely, through the 12 tribes of Israel. And that they were a picture of the church as well. It may explain why there were 12 tribes. I know somebody was asking the question, why 12 tribes? Why not just one? That is the possible answer. We can come on to that in due course. So, having got to that stage, there are some inferences that we can draw, and I'm really coming on to our study, a sort of new part of our study today. One inference we can draw, and we've looked at this before, is that circumcision that was given in the covenant circumcision in Genesis 17, which was repeated in Exodus with the Mosaic law, when the Mosaic law was given, circumcision includes all the requirements of the Mosaic law. The covenant of circumcision given to Abraham included all the laws that then followed, even though the covenant itself did not specify those laws. They came later, but it wasn't a separate covenant, as it were. It was a sort of subsidiary covenant, which is part of the covenant of circumcision. So under the head of circumcision, the Mosaic law all came, even though the covenant of circumcision was repeated to Moses. Therefore, everyone who applies one promise from this covenant to the natural seed of Christian believers, considering that all such parents have the same interests in the covenant as Abraham did, so anyone who says, tries to have a carryover from saying, children who are circumcised are like children who are baptized, got to remember that means that you're making a crossover that doesn't work. If I conclude, for example, that on the basis of the covenant of circumcision, my children are taken into the covenant as well, yet this interest must extend to all succeeding generations as well, because we know that it wasn't just Abraham's children through Jacob, through Isaac and Jacob, that inherited the promises of Canaan. It was Abraham's grandchildren, great-grandchildren, etc. And it was all about the child's relationship descendant from Abraham, even if his parents, we saw, were out of the covenant because they had been disobedient. I must also conclude that all of these people will be separated out from other nations and will inherit Canaan as an everlasting inheritance. But plainly, such conclusions are not justified at all. Rather, we're driven to conclude that Abraham was not to be considered as an ordinary parent, like the Christian parent, but as the covenant head for all succeeding generations, who for God's special purposes will be separated out from other nations to serve God by a particular covenant. Once these purposes are accomplished, the covenant must cease, and we find that at the end of Hebrews 8, if you recall. Hebrews 8, a new covenant, in that he said, a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Well, we're now, the idea that this covenant of circumcision provides the basis for believing that all baptized children of believers, are included in the covenant of grace, labours under the following two inconsistencies. The terms of the covenant are restricted to the immediate children of believers and not all succeeding generations. Servants and slaves of Christians are also excluded from its benefits, which they believe that they gain being sealed with the sign of the covenant of grace. And conversely, they also make the covenant of wider scope than the covenant of circumcision given to Abraham, because people who have the carry down say, well, circumcised children, all circumcised babies are to be considered as Christians, all baptized babies are considered as Christians because of the covenant of circumcision. They don't take into account that not all Abraham's circumcised children were to inherit the promises of the covenant of circumcision, as we've already seen. The children of Keturah, the slaves, the children, Ishmael and his children, were excluded from the covenant. Well, then let's consider next the true meaning of the great promise. We'll consider next the true interpretation of the promise in the covenant of circumcision in Genesis 17, verse 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Furthermore, in the next verse we read, that's verse 8, and I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. There are many people who believe that the entire blessing of the new covenant is contained in these words, since the same promise is made in Jeremiah 31 and Hebrews 8 in relation to the new covenant, that I will be their God. You find in Jeremiah 31, verse 33, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then Hebrews 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind, and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. So people say, well, look, because this promise is made that I will be their God in the covenant of circumcision, that means, because that's also in the covenant of grace, then the two are the same. On the basis of these two scriptures, people claim that the covenant of circumcision is the covenant of grace, sealed by circumcision, so that what was sealed in the baby of an Israelite was an interest in the new covenant. So when an Israelite was circumcised, then he had an interest in the new covenant. That presupposes, doesn't it, the covenant of circumcision and the covenant of grace, namely the gospel, are one and the same. Of course, this understanding contradicts a number of matters already addressed earlier. So in this section, this interpretation will be shown to be unfounded. Several promises then to its right understanding. In order to prepare the way for a right understanding of God's promise to be their God, the following six conclusions of where we've got to may be stated. First, the covenant of grace, we saw earlier, was proclaimed to Abraham by God in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Abraham was not only acting in his own personal capacity, but also as the father of all believers. Romans 4, verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So no one but Abraham can be described in this way as the father of the faithful. Second, in respect of the covenant of grace, a seed was promised to Abraham that would inherit the spiritual blessings of that covenant. However, these were children of Abraham, not of natural descent, although some would also be, but by spiritual descent, and would consist of a seed of believers around the world, both Jew and Gentile. Third, in choosing Abraham to be the father of a people by natural descent through Isaac and Jacob, this was to be a type, a picture of the true church of Jesus Christ. Many blessings were given to this people, until God brought into the world the seed to which the promises of the new covenant especially applied, Christ and his followers. Galatians 3, verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And then in Galatians 3, verse 29, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So in choosing Abraham to be the father of a people of natural descent through Isaac and Jacob, this was a type of the true church of Jesus Christ. It was a picture only of the church. Fourth, one of the reasons for separating Abraham from among the nations and creating a people through his natural seed by Isaac and Jacob was to bring about the birth of a Messiah through his natural line. This was a privilege given to Abraham naturally. The people of Israel were set apart as the means by which the Messiah would be brought into the world. Romans 9, verses 4 and 5. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed, forever. So one of the reasons for separating Abraham from among the nations and creating a people through his natural seed by Isaac and Jacob was to bring about the birth of the Messiah through his natural line. And that was a privilege given to Abraham naturally. So he was going to come. He was going to come through the natural line of Abraham, the Messiah, who, of course, was the Lord Jesus, the father of all his children. We're children of the Lord Jesus, aren't we? That was through the natural line of Abraham, through Isaac and Jacob. Fifth, because of his great purpose, for Abraham to be the means by which the Messiah would come into the world, they could never have the blessings of God removed from them until that promise had been fulfilled. In other words, when the Lord Jesus was brought into the world. After that that time, the promises to this people in respect of this end would cease. Although Romans 11 makes it clear that the promise to bring in the natural seed of Abraham to salvation was yet to be fully realized. So although the promise in terms of the birth of Christ brought an end to the covenant in one sense, we know there's a further promise which Paul makes plain in Romans 11, that God had not finished with the Jews. Romans 11, verses 25 and 26. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. But blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And that is a mystery, isn't it? That although, in one sense, it would appear that the reason for Abraham being given this promise, to be given this covenant, was said to ensure that through him came the Messiah, that people were preserved for the Messiah to be born. Yet, following his birth, following his death and resurrection, yet God still had a purpose for his ancient people. That they did, even though the old covenant had ceased, no longer, there was no point anymore to circumcision and to the sacrifices. They ended because Christ fulfilled the ceremonial law and the civil law. Yet God still had a purpose for the Jews. It is a mystery because they carry on circumcising their children. They carry on with the law, which will get them nowhere, yet God will do a work in them, according to Romans 11. Six, during the currency of a covenant of circumcision, the blessings given to the people of Israel fell short of the covenant of grace. They could never claim that by natural descent they were the people of God to whom heaven was promised. By natural descent, what were they promised? I would like to ask you to put your hand up. They were not promised spiritual Canaan, but they were promised natural Canaan, weren't they? They were promised a home on earth. They were not promised heaven. That's clear from Matthew 3, verse 9. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So in order to avail themselves of the covenant of grace, it was necessary for a Jew to have the faith of Abraham. Remember, the gospel was preached to him in Genesis 12, verse 3, before the covenant of circumcision was given. Romans 4, verse 13 says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham, or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And that's what is needed if you're going to inherit eternal life. Well, let's move on. First of all, I'm going to pause there. Does anyone have any questions? Anyone not following up to now? Do you raise your hand? Okay, well, if you're pleased, and please don't be shy. Okay, well, I'll carry on. Online?
Hello, yes.
Just remember that if you are, just do say yes, and I'll stop the recording.
Yes.
If anyone wants to pause and have with questions, do say yes, and I'll pause the recording.
Yes.
Thank you. All right, then I'll pause the recording.